Hello, everybody, and welcome back to my podcast. I'm Aubrey, and I'm recording right now from my little pink boat out in the middle of Big Blue. Today, I'm going to talk to you about how to find your own dollar boat. Now, I bought Little Miss for a dollar, and I'd like to make my first point here, which is just because it's free doesn't mean that it's free. There's a lot of thought that goes into buying your first boat. First of all, I think the most important thing is to understand that it's important to find the smallest boat that you can feel comfortable living on. I know a lot of people come from homes and they think, well, I've got a 3-bedroom home, 2-bath, I need a 60-foot boat. A 60-foot boat is a lot more to take care of. So my choice in choosing a 29-foot boat was because of just that. I wanted something small enough I could handle that was also something that I could live on. At the time, both of my kids were a lot younger and a lot smaller. So as they've grown, it's been a little bit of an issue fitting them on this boat. I have a son and a daughter. My son is 8 and he is growing like a weed. My daughter is also almost my size, so now I'm looking at having 4 almost adult size humans on my 29-foot boat living aboard full time. Are we comfortable? We're cozy. I don't know if I would use the word comfortable. So the second question that's super important is to ask yourself, how much work am I willing to put in to this project? Am I looking to live aboard? Am I looking to have a weekend cruiser? What are my goals? So with Little Miss, she was a dollar and somebody should have paid me to take her. She had so much work to do on her. She had a hole in the keel. She had been demasted in a regatta, I believe, because the deck had a big dent in it where the mast had come down, and the mast was in fact down and lashed to the deck. So I really didn't know how to check the integrity of the hull, how to check the rigging to make sure there weren't any soft spots in the core. I didn't know any of that. All I knew is that I needed a certain size boat that I could be comfortable sailing on. So I got myself into a project that was a lot more expensive than I thought it was going to be. I thought that I was going to get this boat for a dollar. I'd put like $5,000 or $10,000 into it and then be ready to sail around the world. Well, let me tell you something. That's not really how it works. So just because there's a boat that's a coastal cruiser, it doesn't mean that you can't take a coastal cruiser and turn it into a blue water cruiser per se and sail it around the world. But you have to ask yourself, is that what I want to do? So I digress. We're talking about how to find your own dollar boat. But I'm posing the question, should you find your own dollar boat? For me, I had tons of energy and tons of work ethic, and I was very excited to work on the project. So my boat was just that. It was a huge project, and I was ready and prepared to put the work in. But what I didn't know is how much money it was going to take in order to get it to a place where I felt comfortable sailing it and living on it. So I'll take you to my next point. Little Miss is a 229 cal, and she displaces about 8,000 pounds. She is a coastal cruiser by definition, and she'll only ever be worth $25,000. So it's just like real estate in a way, where you don't want to buy a home in an area where it's only going to be worth $100,000 max and then dump $200,000 into it. And you're like, I have a $200,000 home. Well, you don't. Location, location, location. And with boats, you kind of have to buy a name if you're wanting to improve something enough for it to be worth more because of your hard work. So had I bought an Old Oyster or a Hans Christian or something like a Swan, I would have had a hull number and a vessel name that would have been worth far more in the end with the same amount of hard work and money that I put into the vessel that I have now. So that's also something to keep in mind. Just really do your research. Think about how much money you want to put into the project and how much money that size boat with that builder brand name is ever going to be worth. So for me, I love Little Miss, and I'm so happy that I completed her. She's fast. She is definitely a racer and an excellent coastal cruiser, but I did over-improve her. She'll never be worth what I put into her. So that was a huge learning curve for me. And my biggest piece of advice, if I could go back and change anything, would be to come across, to find a dollar boat or a $500 boat that had the name and had the hull number that would make it worth putting my time and my money and my effort into that boat. So I know you guys are asking and you're screaming out, okay, I've got it. Now, where am I going to get this dollar boat? Where do I find a dollar boat? Well, you'd be surprised. There are so many places that you can find these dollar boats. There's a couple websites, one of which is called freeboats.com. That's www.free-boat.com. They're pretty well organized. You can go through and the people that are giving the boats away are pretty honest, it seems, about what the boat needs and how much work is involved. Now, I wouldn't trust that fully. I would go take a look yourself, but there are a lot of boats there that are free or very, very cheap. I thought it was a great resource. The other resource is Craigslist. That is, I find, a lot of people that are trying to get rid of a boat quickly, and you can come in and offer a lot less. You know, when you think about having a boat, there's a lot of costs that are associated with that, such as mooring fees, docking fees, and just basically preventing the ocean from eating your boat. So the faster that these boat owners sell their boat, the better, because it's costing them money every day that it's not sold. So don't be afraid to go in there and offer a little bit less. There's also sailboatfinder.com, and I found quite a few dollar boat listings that were pretty interesting. Now, for me, working on a boat is a lot like childbirth. For you women out there, it's like, you know, you're ready to have another child when you forgot how difficult childbirth was. And for me, I have not forgotten how difficult this refit was in order to have the energy and the love and the hope to do another refit. So when I look at these boats, there's a lot of really interesting boats on there, but I'm just not in the brain space yet. You have to come in with all of your vigor to do one of these refits, because it is a lot of work, and it's hard work too. And you're often in a boatyard with no air conditioning, and it's dusty and it's dirty and you're hot and there's mosquitoes and it's difficult. So you really have to have a passion for the project. So when you're looking for your first boat or your dollar boat, I think it's really important to think about the things that you want to be on the boat already. There are some things that are a lot more expensive than other things, such as winches and stainless steel structures for the Bimini top and for the Dodger and davits. Those are all things that to have fabricated new are extremely expensive. Excuse the airplane going by in the back. I am down in the Florida Keys by one of the airports and they keep zooming by. So my biggest suggestion is to not buy a boat. Don't take on a boat that needs new everything. You know, there's going to be things you want to do like new upholstery, and you can just bank on spending about $3,500 on that. But when you look at doing self-tailing winches, those can be $1,000 a piece. And when you look at putting stainless steel structures on your boat, I'm looking out my window right now and I see my tower in a box for my solar arch, and that was $3,800. I'm looking at my Bimini top, which is super cheap, for $300, and I have no Dodger, which is kind of a bummer. So, you know, you're looking at thousands and thousands of dollars for those structures, and it's really difficult to find them used because they're very customized to that boat. So when you're looking at free boats or very cheap boats, those are some things that are nice to have on it already. Electronics, they go out of date very quickly, and yes, they are expensive, but they're obsolete really soon too. So you can get great electronics, or you can just use Navionics, which is an app on your phone, and not really need any electronics. So, you know, people say, oh, it has a Garmin on it, or it has a wind indicator, or it has this or that. Well, how old is it? And how long has it been sitting in the elements? And how about the wiring? So, and that takes me to another point. You're probably gonna have to redo the wiring on your boat as well. So everybody has their own idea about how to do marine electrical, and you'll find a lot of spaghetti messes on a lot of these boats. So it's really good to go back through all those systems and do them. And it's not the most expensive thing. So that's my piece of advice. So look for things on a boat that are already there, that are custom to the boat, that are going to be expensive to have fabricated for the boat. So just to kind of wrap it up for you guys, single best piece of advice that I was given when I was setting out on this journey to find my own boat was to find the smallest boat that I could be comfortable living on. And I really took that to the extreme. Is that also my regret? Kind of. If this was, you know, a 29-foot Hans Christian, I might feel a little bit differently. But because it's not a full keel and the displacement's pretty light at 8,000 pounds, I can't really go comfortably the places that I wanted to go. So do your research and find the smallest boat that you can feel comfortable living on. My next piece of advice is to go take some classes. Take a marine electrical class, take a woodworking class, even take a sewing class. Really learn some of the skills to do your own DIYs. And I know that YouTube University is excellent, but sometimes teaching and classes are really helpful as well. Annapolis School of Seamanship, they teach some outboard classes that are great. I highly recommend them. That is where I got my captain's license a couple of years ago. Also, the smaller the boat, the easier the systems are to maintain. So when you think about running new electrical on a 29-foot boat, the longest piece of electrical wire inside my boat is going to be 29 feet or a 40-foot mast. So, you know, when you look at a 60-foot boat, you're looking at each piece of wire going from the bow back to your battery bank or to your switchboard being that long, plus a, you know, 70-foot mast, or maybe it's a schooner, it's two masts. So think about those kind of things when you think about going for a larger boat. I think larger boats are great. I would love a larger boat, but it just really triples the price of everything. The other thing that is really important is think about the accessibility of parts. You know, if you get a production line boat like I have, I looked up online where to get a Cal 229 rub rail, and it just showed up in the mail. I didn't have to have anything fabricated. I didn't have to make anything custom, which really helps in saving time and effort and money. Is it worth it to have to buy to work on a dollar boat? Absolutely. This boat has been such a learning experience for me. If anything squeaks, if anything creaks, I know exactly where it's coming from and I likely know how to fix it. So there's a lot of value in building your boat from the ground up or from a hull that is really stripped down. So I'm very, very thankful. I love Little Miss and she's been absolutely amazing. I have documented the whole journey of my refit on YouTube. So if you want to go check that out, go check out Go See Sailing on YouTube, or you can Google sailingmisslonestar.com and find me all over the place with my little pink boat. It's a 229 Cal by Jensen. There were about 336 made, I believe. So there's lots of Cals out there if you're interested in doing exactly what I did. I recommend it. If you're not planning to cross the Pacific, this is a great boat. If you want to cross the Pacific in this boat, you absolutely can. You just have to plan it out just a little bit better. So anything's possible. You can do it. Put your mind to it. It's an amazing journey. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast on how to find your own dollar boat. And a big shout out to my Patreons. Thank you so much. If you'd like to check me out on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/MissLoneStar. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time on my podcast.